It's going crazy again.
Oh.
Cash money, cash money.
Look, look, I like my bitch, red bone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Roundtable Podcast. Bringing you the truth, no matter how bad it hurts.
That's right.
I'm a proud affiliate of the Sport Board. Brought to you by Well Vodka Lemonade. You can find them at www.drinkwell.com.
See that, Johnny added something there at the end.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, yeah.
I like it.
We have a special guest on the show today. He's probably wondering what the heck's going on with this intro. Introducing Jelani Goodridge-Reed, a colleague of mine at 30 Year Sport Media. Great to have him. We got so much on the show to roll with you guys this evening. We got Dak Prescott and his injury, Cowboys, how they roll with Andy Dalton going forward. That's why we got Jelani on the show.
Yes, sir.
Le'Veon Bell has signed. That basically broke Twitter yesterday.
Oh, my God.
I called that. I called that, by the way.
I saw that. I saw this guy called it, too, on the 14th. I saw that. Yeah.
The new Schefter and the new Woj. Don't worry about that.
I think Schefter, for the first time ever, broke a story on Instagram yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He had to. Yeah. I remember seeing that. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then after that, we got Alex Pietrangelo and his big move to Vegas, as Mike predicted last week. Tyler Toffoli to the Canadiens. Gallagher re-signs. Tyronn Lue promoted as the head coach of the LA Clippers for the next 5 years. And of course we got ALCS, NLCS action. And
what about Braun's fourth ring, maybe?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like we missed that last week.
because that basically happened between shows. But I want to get into Cowboys action early on. Dak Prescott had a successful surgery last week. It was said to be a compound right ankle fracture and dislocation. I watched it live. It was pretty gruesome, disgusting.
It was bad.
The analysis on that is 4 to 6 months at the minimum.
Heart dropped watching that play, man.
Same. Jelani, Mike's also a Cowboys fan.
Oh, really? Welcome to Cowboys Nation.
Welcome to
what did you see there? What was your reaction real time when that happened?
Well, obviously, Dak is a big quarterback, so he will run the ball. That's what he was known for at Mississippi State when they were, you know, one seed in the country. So
Hail State.
They limit him sometimes in terms of running the ball. Here, we saw he was trying to get extra yardage. Unfortunately, we saw Logan Ryan, he pulled him down. And it's really a freakish play. You didn't expect that to happen. And then as soon as they zoomed in, I was like, okay.
Oh, man.
I was like, oh, man, I don't know what to do here. Because he was having a pace that was historic, right? And I know a lot of those yards, you could consider them being garbage yards at the end of games, trying to come back because we're always down for some reason. Yards. Why? I don't know. You know, turnovers and all that stuff. But it's just tough. He was on a record historic pace. And now you have to look at it, you know, his financial, right? We didn't get the deal done. And we should have gotten it done. Yeah, we should have got it done 2 years ago.
I was just going to ask you that. You know, from Jerry Jones' standpoint, he's saying, some guys are saying, well, they took care of him, but is the franchise tag really taken care of him? I don't think so, right?
I mean, you can look at it. It's like $31 million, so that's beautiful, right? I'll take that.
God.
I'll take that for a year. But the problem is he was a fourth-round pick, right, coming out of Mississippi State. And he's exceeded all of his expectations. Let me ask you something. If Tony Romo did the same things that Dak was doing his first 4 years, is he not getting a deal?
All over him.
Is he not getting a deal, right?
Jerry,
so that's my thing.
Throw every dollar at him.
That's what I'm saying. That's my thing. Where is the deal? He's outproven, like he's proven all of these expectations, right? He's won one playoff game, my bad. But that's more than Tony did in his first four. So you have to look at it and say to yourself, he's been a Pro Bowler. He's been a great leader, the perfect captain for this Cowboys football team. And there's no deal for some reason, right? So,
yeah, it's definitely frustrating for.
And also a bright spot in what's been a pretty dismal year so far.
Yeah,
amid all the injuries, amid seeing guys just seeing a struggling football team out there.
The defense
has just been It's been the biggest story, the defense.
Put me on that defense, I'll make plays, okay? I played safety, so I'll make some plays on that defense, okay? The secondary, all three levels, terrible. Absolutely no heart, no soul, but this is about Dak.
Yeah, so, I mean, you see the defense is just fledgling. It's to the point where the Cowboys just have to keep fighting to – and don't get me wrong, to give them the credit, they do come back from some serious leads. But still, I mean, you could see Dak. He was visibly – he was in tears. You could see just the state of his ankle there did not look good at all. And it's been just another – 2020 for the Cowboys, really, is what it is.
Something I do want to get into is the fact that, you know, I watched Jelani's little spiel at RBTO and his thoughts on what to expect under Andy Dalton. And something that was frustrating me, actually, as an Ezekiel Elliott fantasy owner, was that these guys weren't running the ball enough. And, yep. and it's kind of a vicious cycle, right? Because they're always down, right? So – if you're having to come back from, you know, 21-0, 14-0 leads in the first quarter, do you establish that run game? And how do you think Andy Dalton helps that situation there?
Yeah, you know, Andy, he's a guy who's – you could consider him to be a game manager in this situation. He's not going to be a guy flinging the ball down the field, even though we have so many weapons. What we see now is with a top three, top two, top one, running back in Ezekiel Elliott, you could give him the ball, right? And what does that do? That opens up your passing game because you can use the play action. You could trick the defense, right? Our offense, a lot of times very, you know, it's an offense that's very pass heavy, and you could really predict what we're going to do because we're always down, like you said, John. So the thing here is if you give it to Zeke, that was our strength. 2016, you look at it, yep. We made the playoffs using the run game. Okay, we won through the run game. 2018, make the playoffs again. How? Ezekiel Elliott. So I think Andy Dalton, like I said on RBTL, just don't mess this up. You have so many weapons. Do not mess it up. And I think with all of his experience, he's been in the league for, what, a decade now?
Wow.
And he's brought the Bengals to the playoffs 5 times, right, in the tough North. So, look, just give it to Zeke. And now we're going to see what Zeke has because a lot of people, before I end my thing, a lot of people think that Zeke is not the same running back. I think that they're delusional. I think that they have amnesia. Look at the stats. The stats speak for themselves. I think that he is still one of the top running backs in this league, and he will prove it now because he's what we're going to use to win games.
Do you think Andy Dalton before Dak got injured, was the best backup QB in the NFL?
I think so just because of his experience. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
so too.
I might put Nick Foles ahead just because I know Nick Foles is not a starter. Okay. Technically, yeah. I would put Nick Foles.
Yeah,
so is Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
definitely as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just because Dalton, he's been here, he's done that, he knows the league, so he's not trying to mess this up. He knows what he has to do. He knows his job coming in, and he was supportive of Dak. Dak was supportive of him, so I think he's going to work out here.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, as you were saying earlier, I think the, you know, letting Zeke eat really opens up the play action and makes things a little easier for a guy like Andy Dalton who's trying to get it coming in. And yeah, learning a new system under Mike McCarthy. And but not even, you know, a quarter of the way or a third of the way through the season, what are your opinions of the way Coach Mike McCarthy has handled this team? Because in some ways – I'm kind of thinking, you know, is this team any more prepared than they were last year under Jason Garrett? And answer is?
I mean, you look at it and there's some games where you're watching the play calling and it's very, you know, sketchy. That could also point to Kellen Moore, right? I think when we were getting this new regime inside, you know, the team, I think that we didn't really need Kellen Moore anymore. That's my opinion. Yeah. I don't know. Like, the offense is still nice. We're still putting up numbers and stuff, also because we're obviously falling from behind. But I think that McCarthy coming in, look, he didn't coach for a while. So he's coming into a new NFL, basically. So I think, and with no preseason, with no training camp being the same as before, no OTAs, your OTAs were basically like this, a Zoom call. So it's a lot different. So you can't really judge him that hard, but I hope that down the stretch, now that we've gotten things going, season has started, hopefully things will get better.
You guys got to remember, too, the division they're in, too. So,
oh my God.
They're still very – the I mean, yeah, there's still a very big chance that they still win their division.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to win the division no matter what.
It's either us or the Eagles, in my opinion.
I'd have and Carson Wentz looked terrible there. I think Jalen Hurts.
Oh, my God.
I'm convinced Jalen Hurts
is going to get a start. That's my team.
Yeah.
I know he went to Oklahoma, but he's still a Bama guy. But yeah, I think that it's between the Eagles and Cowboys. I think down the stretch, look, the thing with me and watching these games and being a diehard fan, it's not the offense. That is not the problem. Yeah, I know that our turnovers, I think we lead in turnovers this season. We have like, what, 15, 13 to 15, one of that. And that's not good, obviously. And we're playing from behind. But the problem is the defense. There's no heart, right? And if you're not going to make a stop, we can't score 100. We're not the Chiefs, okay? So we can't put up all these points all the time.
That's the difference, I think, with the Cowboys defense and the Cowboys team in general than compared to someone as a Seahawks fan, is who is technically the worst defense in the league is
Seahawks.
But they're 5-0 because, one, they make crucial stops, and they have Russ.
MVP. That was my pick for MVP.
Jelani, you're so lucky that you don't have to hear this guy talk about the Seahawks.
Oh, man. I can imagine.
5-0, Mike, and they beat your Cowboys. What else are you going
to say? Yeah, what did you expect them to do?
Listen, if there was more time in that game, we would have won that game. Trust.
If DK wasn't an idiot, you guys would have been blown out.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Quarter.
Yes. I know. But still, yeah, I think – for you, like Russ, he's the MVP in my opinion. Oh. I don't know if you guys are diving into that later, but he's definitely MVP. And it's surprising he's never gotten a vote. That's just a crime.
I think
we've dived into that every single episode in this podcast.
No, we don't. You guys keep pushing it back. Relax.
We push it back because we're so sick and tired of saying it every day.
Whatever. Move on. Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah. Before we let Jelani go. Initial thoughts to the Le'Veon Bell signing Kansas City that broke Twitter for over an hour.
Like, honestly, I don't know what to say anymore. I think the Chiefs, look, they coming in, I thought that they would go back-to-back. That was my pick for the Super Bowl. Yeah. The Saints, NFC, or the Seahawks. I wasn't too sold on, like, other teams, but I think that the Chiefs are definitely going to go back-to-back. But the thing with Bell, I think he made a big mistake going to New York. I think that was just a move with, you know, his brand is obviously the biggest city. Money, right? He wanted his money.
That was the time to do that.
An okay offer.
Issues.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that this will be a resurrection of his career because after Pittsburgh, we haven't heard of him a lot, right? In New York. Barely played, barely produced. And now you're going into an offense where they have weapons all over the place. So now you give it to Le'Veon Bell, right? He's gonna be free, right? There's no struggle like he had in New York. The people actually want him in KC rather than New York because Gase didn't want him in New York. So it's gonna be a lot of fun this offense, and they're already scary. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting stuff, especially to see how they split carries with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's been their lead back. Out of the gate, Jelani, it's been great having you.
For those who don't know,
Jelani, make sure you check out his show at Read Between the Lines. It's the RBTL show. You can give a quick plug if you want.
The RBTL show, Read Between the Lines. More episodes to come, ladies and gentlemen. And also follow at Northside Talks _. Don't forget the underscore.
Hey, I see your edits too.
For all of your sports needs and all the updates coming through, I'm going to post some stuff soon.
Of course we will definitely be plugging your posts and pages into the description down below so everyone can check it out. Thank you so much for coming on.
All right, guys, no problem. And we'll do it when COVID's done. We'll do it in the studio.
Yes, sir.
Of course.
Yeah, all right,
see you, man. Take care.
That was Jelani Goodridge-Reed of Ryerson RTA Sport Media, JRG Edits, Northside Talks, RBTL Show, man. Jack of all trades.
Isn't it JGR Edits?
Maybe, yeah, JGR Edits. JGR. We'll make sure to plug to all those tags before this show is released. But, yeah, guys, I wanted to get into, you know, what you guys thought of the Le'Veon Bell acquisition. Obviously, I tweeted out a couple, I think this morning.
That, oh, you tweeted?
Yeah. I'm quite big on that right now. So, Le'Veon Bell will not play this coming week because of COVID protocol. He has to test negative five consecutive days before he can enter the facility. So expect to see Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a starting running back this week. I don't think it's a question that the Chiefs can get better with this.
Oh my God.
I was
excited though at the prospect of him possibly playing with Daniel Jones. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, me too. And not only that, but I was actually expecting him to land in Miami. I thought that
that would be a good fit for him, I think. It's a young team that has a lot of potential in a not a weak division, but not the division it used to be. I think he could have put a lot of stuff in Miami. But looking at him on the Chiefs, I am just curious in what is the percentage going to be of his touches? And even with Bell going to the Chiefs, I'm kind of hesitant about how many touches he's going to get because that offense is nuts. I know Jelani touched upon it, saying all that opens up the field for him, which we all know Le'Veon can see all the holes and is very good. Like, it's a very good back that way, not a ground to pound type of back. But how many touches he get? I think it's more going to be off the pass in the flat. I think that's where he's going to get most of his plays personally because I don't think they run the ball as much.
I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows unless you're Coach Andy Reid how they're going to use him yet. Mm-hmm. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be the first. I think he's going to be the primary back there and maybe get a 60-40 kind of percentage with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But, you know, we've seen these kind of tandems in the backfield that have worked really well on other championship football teams. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be dangerous for the Chiefs this year because they won last year with Damian Williams as their starting running back.
Yeah, none of these guys.
So this and you know, it's gone pretty viral on Twitter lately, you know, that the that Chiefs loss really the Chiefs lose one game, they do this as a response. So
yeah, man. But all it says, Helaire fantasy owners, we're sorry. That's all we're sorry. But before we move into NHL and we get started with that, I want to talk about Bucks and Packers quickly. It's a pre-anticipated matchup happening.
I'm very excited for that, actually.
It's Rodgers and Brady. Why wouldn't you be? And to top it off, I don't know if you saw Jamal Williams' take on who's better between Brady and Rodgers. And he said, and I quote, "Look, I think my quarterback knows when fourth down is." So that's all I have to say.
Come on. That's a slow.
You know, that's going to come back to bite Jamal Williams when he's going to play for Tom Brady one day.
Yeah. And what also, too, is I read this in a group chat. Someone said, I forgot, does six rings mean less than one? Like, you know, like, obviously Brady's better than Rodgers. The rings show it. The rings show it. The accolades show it. That's my opinion.
I agree. You'd be surprised how many people say otherwise. And I think that the whole move from Tom Brady from New England to Tampa Bay was for the purpose of really silencing those haters and more importantly, I think telling himself that he can do this thing, you know what I'm saying? And do it without Bill Belichick, and he can prove that to himself. And
All right.
Well, before we get into something else, I would like to point out just quickly on the news front as well. We cannot forget another COVID outbreak scare occurred. The dumpster fire Atlanta Falcons were on track to apparently have this game canceled, postponed, but. After returning to play to their facility today, I think, and recording no new positive COVID tests, they will be playing Minnesota on time. That's what they're saying. Wow. So after
Calvin Ridley fantasy owner right now is pumping their fist.
Yes, they did confirm one positive test, which belongs to a team personnel member that remains unnamed. while their rookie DT Marlon Davidson is on the reserve / COVID-19 list after reportedly testing positive. But yeah, I mean, Minnie's first.
Yeah, this all comes after the just as Mike said, you know, the firing of Dan Quinn.
So it'll be interesting.
Definitely. You know, and I'm happy that game's on because I want Atlanta to. If something happened with them, like, can they just please just give us something, give us some kind of hope, you know? But let's move on, Mike, to NHL. You agree?
One last thing. I think it's really funny that Miles Garrett is apparently open to reconciling with Mason Rudolph after he tried to take his give him blunt trauma last year.
You know what? I want to talk about that because I remember what all three of us were in the studio. We were talking about this for a good, like, 15, 20 minutes.
I do remember that, too. Yeah.
Saying how he was going to kill Mason Rudolph and all this. Oh, man. That was funny.
I think I was downplaying it. I think I was the one that's like, no, there's no way Mason Rudolph could have been injured. He was on so much adrenaline.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was definitely one of the highlight suspensions of the decade for sure.
But let's move on, guys. Move on to NHL. And as John mentioned right at the beginning, Alex Pietrangelo, the top free agent in the NHL, signed 7 years, $61.6 million with Vegas. Mike predicted it. Mike, you had it. What do you think of it?
I think it's pretty insane. I mean, because, like, to think that Vegas didn't exist
3 years ago.
Yeah.
And now, like, you don't expect an expansion team to do nearly any of the things that Vegas has done. I mean, going to the Cup Final in their first year alone was just a joke. But now, I mean, I loved it. But, I mean, it's great. But I understand why. And, like, more and more, I know I said – like, I know for the last two episodes, I voiced my distaste with the St. Louis Blues organization. But the more and more I kind of sat down and thought to myself why it happened, I can kind of understand and agree with it now. Because ultimately, sports – like, I'll get into what the Pietrangelo signing means for Vegas and what it means in a sec. But, I mean, ultimately, I understand. Like, I just want to go back quickly to what I said about St. Louis. The biggest thing St. Louis had in terms of their issue when it came to re-signing their captain was Pietrangelo wanted a full no movement, no trade clause, which means they can't send him down to the minors. They can't trade him anywhere unless he waives it. And that's huge because nowadays in sports, especially in the business of hockey, where you have a flat $81.5 million cap, and that's flat. Like you can't go anywhere with that. It's not like the NBA where you pay luxury tax. It's not like anything else. If you're over the cap, you don't play. So because of that, St. Louis's GM Doug Armstrong said, you know what? No, we're not going to give that kind of power over the organization to a single player. And I can understand that, but at the same time, I still feel like a better effort could have been made to communicate that. And I mean, ultimately, Vegas took the risk. I forgot the details in terms of how long. I think the no movement clause is for the full 7 years.
Yeah, we got
is insane.
It is for the full 7 years, yeah.
Yeah, which is insane.
And the deal is worth $61.6 million, which is absolutely huge. And what stuck out to me now is that Vegas all of a sudden, you know, not only have they been successful in their expansion, but they seem to be a franchise that is a hot destination for a lot of free agents. And it seems that this is everything that owners really look up to in an expansion franchise, right? You know, the season ticket sales were there. The attendance is there. The fan loyalty seems to be there. And players like playing there. And for whatever reason, they are attracting free agents now. And this could be a really hot market for...
I don't think it's for whatever reason, dude. It's Vegas. It's the city of Las Vegas. I would pay to play hockey in the city of Las Vegas. Just saying.
Sin City, man. And plus, did we talk about the luxury? There's no tax there in Vegas either.
No state tax.
I think Bryce Harper got all that money. I think, well, how much did he get again, Bryce Harper? Because he has a place in Vegas. and he put that down on his contract. So all that money, I think it was like 300 and something million.
It's 330.
How much was it?
330.
330. All that money is not taxed. Is not taxed on it. Man was thinking about that. You know, man was thinking. Sin City has its perks.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they're. I mean, that's a big thing too. Just in for athletes in general, why they want to go play in states like Florida or Nevada, because you don't have to worry about that state income tax. So you know how, for example, if you're playing in friggin' Canada, say for example, mm-hmm. and you sign an $11 million contract in Toronto, you're lucky to get $8 million of that. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm thinking. It's just, yeah. So I mean, I think for Vegas, it's really hot, and I think they're just another perennial contender. It's good for Pietrangelo. I mean, he has a family. He's got triplets, and I still think he's got plenty of good years left, even though he's entering his 30s. But I think it's a very good signing for the Vegas Golden Knights. They're out of their cap crunch. They came out of what's been a tough cap crunch, and.
Seems like they came out pretty good. Not gonna lie, seems like they came good. But before we get into Montreal having pretty big free agency, and Johnny, we know that's your team. I want to discuss breaking news that happened today, and actually, one of your classmates, John, broke the news. Joe Thornton, a Leaf.
I know.
Tell me who's this guy? Who's this guy that broke the news? Because I remember Mike's like, okay, I'm not going to listen to some sports media guy. Like, where's the proof on that? And then it happened. And everyone's like, oh, shit.
I'm not going to plug him. I don't care. I'm not going to plug him.
It's been reported that Joe Thornton is a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs on a $1 million deal for the year.
$700,000,
okay. To be precise.
The deal comes after years of me and Mike going back and forth saying this team needs to get tougher. They bring in Wayne Simmonds. They now bring in Joe Thornton. Mike, does Joe Thornton slide on that fourth line with Wayne Simmonds, or do you see Jason Spezza playing with Simmonds better? What do you see happening here?
Dude, honestly, like I'm at a loss for words. And this is the first time you'll hear me say this ever. I don't know. Because of the fact that the Leafs have so many bottom six forwards in Kerfoot, VC, Engvall, now Thornton, Spezza, Simmonds, this Russian guy named Barabanov. Did I mention Engvall? Nick Robertson. I don't know who has a spot on this team anymore. I don't know who's going to play where. I don't know who's going to be scratched. I don't know who's going to be sent down to the minors. I don't even know if there's going to be any minors.
But I like that, though. I like that how there's some competition with that, though.
I love that. But it's just like it's tugging at my heartstrings because I want everyone to play, but not everyone can play.
Yeah, it's definitely a deep forward group. We may see Jimmy Vesey get some minutes with the top six. Right now, I think Hyman may be on that first line with Austin Matthews.
The way it looks is that they're not going to move away from Hyman, Matthews, Nylander, and Mikheyev once they sign him.
Yeah,
hopefully soon. Tavares and Marner, because that's what they were rolling and it worked. They could switch up Marner and Nylander maybe. But that's what worked, and I think they're going to keep that. So I honestly think it's literally just a conversation of what that bottom six is going to be. And it's just puzzling. I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely – but, I mean, I think this is a great problem to have for the Leafs. I think this is a problem they didn't have in the past few years going into the playoffs, and obviously they got steamrolled year in and year out every time in the first round. And I think at this point, Kyle Dubas had enough with that and said, you know what, we're going to try something new. We're going to try getting bigger, stronger, while still remaining productive on the bottom six. And, I mean, hopefully for them, for Kyle Dubas's job, it works. Because give him credit, he's trying new things. And when things that haven't worked, he's ditched them. And he's adopted some new strategies and some new formulas to try to make this team a better playoff team. Because we know they can score. The back end looks like it could use some work again. You know what I'm saying? And they can definitely add there at the deadline. I think they have the pieces to dish out, and they can definitely add there. But moving on to the in the same division, actually, it's going to be a tough division in the Atlantic. Brendan Gallagher has signed, he's re-signed in Montreal most recently for 6 years, $39 million, while adding the likes of Tyler Toffoli on a pretty good contract, in my opinion, a pretty team-friendly deal for 4 years and $17 million. You add that with the likes of Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher has been one of the most consistent driving wingers in this league for a long time now. This team starts to look kind of dangerous.
They do. They do, for sure.
And, you know, maybe the first time in Carey Price's career, they won't have completely spoiled his talent. So, you know, and there's still some free agents out there. We've talked a little bit about this in the week coming up. We've got names like Mike Hoffman, Mikael Granlund, Corey Perry, Sammy Vatanen, and Eric Hall, Alex Galchenyuk, former Hab, that can really make some serious contributions to many teams that are looking to add pieces. And we saw also in the NHL free agent frenzy that Evgeny Dadonov has signed with the Sens to bolster their offense. Combine that with the picks that they've had, and all of a sudden they look like a much improved version of their former self. So I don't know, Mike, what do you see? I mean, you're in Ottawa now. Are you excited about the Dadonov deal?
I know I'm in Ottawa, but do not ever think I'd be a Sens fan in my life. But I don't understand what the Sens are doing to really say that, because the Sens are the same team that are under the cap floor, which means they on it like some a lot of teams have problems with the cap, like with the cap roof, where yeah. they have too much money
yeah.
tied up to play. The Ottawa Senators are not paying enough. Like, they're legit not paying enough players.
Yeah. And that's not really a surprise right now. If you look at their team, it's really...
No, it is a surprise right now, because why are you getting rid of Bobby Ryan? Why are you getting rid of Anthony Duclair? Why are you getting rid of Mark Borowiecki?
I think the idea with getting rid of Anthony Duclair is they can get arguably better production from Dadonov on a better deal. Anthony
Duclair was the all-star selection from that stupid...
I know, but you're paying him over, what is it, 5.35 right now?
Anthony Duclair had, and to his credit too, Anthony Duclair is also negotiating his own contract, which is kind of interesting. You don't see that much anymore, but it was a $1.65 million contract.
But he apparently is looking for over five now after that breakout season.
Yeah, he is looking for something like around the $5 million mark, because he did go to the All-Star game. He is a young up-and-coming forward still. Yeah. But, I mean... that's still $22 million away from the salary cap.
I know. So. Yeah, no, I do see your point, though. They are a team with a little bit of extra lucrative funds right now that could afford to be spending. And potentially bringing in, you know, as well as Dadonov, bringing back Duclair, who had a great season. And I don't see why not. I don't really know what they're doing up there. Do you think they make a run at Hoffman, Granlund, Galchenyuk, Halla, any of these guys?
I think they will. I'm not sure what they have in store, because Eugene Melnyk is the most puzzling owner ever. I don't know if he ever actually wants to spend money on the team he owns, apparently. But I don't know what – definitely not Hoffman, because they had a very messy divorce with Hoffman. But maybe the likes of Eric Halla or Mikael Granlund, something. Corey Perry would not go to – garbage team with them, but yeah, so I'm not sure. I'm interested. I do live in the capital, so I kind of have to be privy to this information. So I mean, we will see how that goes.
I would be interested to see if they take a little bit of a chance with Galchenyuk. I mean, Galchenyuk's always been a guy who needs ice time, and he, you know, in Montreal, they had serious issues with him flip-flopping between the wing and center and hasn't really found a home on the ice. And I think potentially Galchenyuk could be a good fit in Ottawa and potentially get some really good top 6 minutes and maybe have a breakout season. The breakout season we've all been looking for since his first-round lottery pick years ago.
He'd certainly be leaned on. So, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so moving on forward, I guess I do want to get into something. We recorded the show right before the NBA championship was awarded last week.
Yeah,
we recorded it and then I posted it, and I think we had it up maybe, what, like 5 hours before the game, which is kind of funny.
the Lakers. I mean, if you've been living under a rock, the Lakers won the championship in between episodes, and it is LeBron James's fourth NBA title. We're going to save the GOAT conversation. We're going to leave that to Twitter.
We will have a GOAT conversation eventually. I will say that.
And I think, you know, as much as I still think MJ is the GOAT, I think we have to do a good job as sports fans of just appreciating the excellence that we saw and that we continue to see. And this is one of the longest primes I've ever seen in basketball. So I don't think anybody can deny that. Mitch, I see you nodding your head there. I feel like you want to know.
Well, you already know my opinion on LeBron James. I told you guys, maybe we were talking about MVP at the beginning of the show, I think 2 weeks ago, talking about who's going to be MVP, and I said I would be LeBron because I trust him to keep up this performance throughout the postseason. I know AD had injuries, but he still played through the injuries as well. And AD did put up some numbers as injured. Mm-hmm. But LeBron's LeBron James. And like you just said, John, you've never seen a player be in his prime for this long.
Right.
His dominance and greatness have been on for like a decade, at least.
Yes.
And that's one of the major keys of why my opinion on LeBron James as one of the GOAT or as the GOAT. But I just want to also point out, Mitch said Lakers in six. I just want to point that out again, just to hear that, just for all everyone out there, just say Mitch got Lakers in six. But you know what? I'm happy for LeBron.
You know what, Mitch? Do you know how many people probably got that right too?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. You guys didn't, so that's all I know.
I think I said Lakers in five, so Mitch beat me by a game.
I don't even know what I said. I think I said Lakers in five.
Yeah, you probably said the same thing I did. Or I think I may have even said four. I said four.
But yeah, I'll tell you one thing. One thing that's a move made
out
in L.A., not in the Lakers, is Ty Lue, after Doc Rivers leaves, he says, I want to get my ass out of here. Who do they sign as the new head coach? Or should I say bump up to the new head coach? Your boy.
Yeah, you know, Tyronn Lue is the head coach of the LA Clippers, and something I want to point out right now, he actually got signed for 5 years. Something I actually want to point out is every reason that people are mentioning Ty Lue is a good fit in the Clippers made him a good fit in Brooklyn. So that's where I tie that back to what I said earlier. I think Ty Lue would have been an even better fit in Brooklyn. I think Ty Lue knows how to manage superstars and allows superstars a certain amount of leverage on that team and a certain voice in a way that Doc Rivers is unwilling to. And I don't think this is an upgrade. I think Doc Rivers is a better coach than Ty Lue, but
you better not say it's an upgrade.
But I think this can work. I think this can work because look at this. Ty Lue has coached generational superstars, right? He's coached LeBron James. LeBron James is a generational superstar. Come on.
Obviously, but there's another point to this that I want to make. But yeah,
and I think there's a difference between star and superstar in this league. And Kawhi Leonard is a superstar in this league. He's a bona fide superstar. Paul George is a stud, but he's not a superstar. And I think Ty Lue can kind of relay that information in a way and communicate that to Paul George in a way that makes him understand he's got to improve.
I like how they stayed in the house and they just bumped Ty Lue up. We all see what happened when Nick Nurse did that after Dwayne Casey got fired.
Yeah.
It worked out. You keep that kind of chemistry built. I have been hearing stuff in the Clippers about how a couple players, as in Beverly.
I was going to say that.
Beverly Williams and Harold is kind of a little bit mad at Kawhi with his
love. I want you to tell me, what do you think the difference is going to be after the star treatment for Kawhi reportedly bothered some teammates? What is that going to do here now with the addition of the story Ty Lue?
Kawhi Leonard is your best player. You do everything you can to make him happy.
Of course. Yeah.
That's the thing. And if players don't like that.
A little different in the sense that the Raptors were doing it probably to try and get him to stay.
But that was because you knew he wasn't going to come back. LA knew that they have an edge as it's home.
Yeah.
But they have to do the extra stuff too, because again, he didn't sign a 4-year deal.
Yeah.
It was 2 years, because he either wants that extra max deal or he's saying, this is not a good fit, I'm going to get out of here. Yep. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know? But going back to saying about the same thing you said, John, about Ty Lue, saying that he has like that edge maybe of playing against LeBron because he's coached LeBron. First thing, I don't think you can really coach LeBron. I think LeBron's IQ is just out of this world.
LeBron is his own coach and GM.
And I don't think you can coach against LeBron, you know?
Yeah.
You can coach against players around him.
Yeah.
The man's too smart. His IQ is something that's very underrated about LeBron. And if you heard DeMar DeRozan talk about it, I forget what podcast he was on, but he came on a podcast and talked about his IQ and talked about how, the East was just dominant. And he didn't say the player who he told the play to, but it was Patrick Patterson. I remember this story. Patterson didn't know what the play was. And LeBron James, I believe it was in the 2016 playoffs, told Patterson, you're supposed to do this, wrap around, you're not doing your play right, as he's guarding him. Like that is the most disrespectful thing and the most, like, superior thing you can do in a playoff game, I think, at least, you know?
How would Coach LeBron got mad at JR?
Yeah, oh, man, you gotta give LeBron his greatness, man, especially after winning it, but...
I think LeBron did everything he needed to do this year, and I say needed to because I think Golden State's going to be a serious threat next year to the Los Angeles Lakers and to anybody that's standing in their way. Because, I know, Mitch a couple weeks ago said, well, who's going to guard AD and LeBron? And, you're right. They have superior size to the Golden State Warriors, no doubt. But I don't think there's a better shooting combo that this game has ever seen than Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And I think that, at the end of the day, you can argue whether or not they're going to win, but I think you can't argue that that's going to pose a threat.
And I will agree with you on that, John, because we forget that when Curry and Thompson were in the league, this was a backcourt league. People start forgetting about the small forward. This is an all shooting, all you win by three, you die by the three. And that's something that we forget about Golden State, as they were the number one team, and now they're the bottom team because their stars didn't play.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say, like, they're not going to be done. Cause I'm interested to see how it worked because I think the NBA has changed. Yeah. It has changed into a more not a one-player, two-man show. It's changed to a team effort to win games. We've seen that with Miami. We saw it with the Raptors last year. We've seen that with Boston. We've seen that with a lot of, like, the only team is like not, I would say it doesn't follow that, are the Lakers. And that's because they had probably either, you can even say one or two, the two best players in the world right now at the time.
Top five for sure.
Top five for sure. You can argue Davis is higher when he's on, you know?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason why. But I'm very interested to see how Golden State. And there's a lot of teams in the West too. You got to look out for it besides Golden State.
Yeah. And
so many teams.
Before we wrap up with the NBA, I want to stick to the West and talk a little bit about Daryl Morey and his of the Houston Rockets. What the future holds there, I don't know, right?
If you don't know who that is, that's the guy that started the whole China thing back.
That's one aspect of it. One, I agree with him on that. I think you call a spade and, you know, regardless of where your money lies.
No, definitely. I'm just saying he caused it, though. If you don't know who it is, that's who caused it.
Yeah, but I think a lot of
capturing our imaginations is the headline for when Daryl Morey and Billy Daryl Morey and Billy Bean when it comes to the whole China outrage.
Yeah. But I think basketball-wise, I think Daryl Morey did a great job. I think he, in a market in Dallas, it should be a market where players seem to want to flock to, right? A low state tax, right? And for whatever reason, they didn't seem to be able to garner any interest among free agents. And I think he did the best he could, bringing in Russell Westbrook, bringing in James Harden via both of those via trade, abandoning the center Clint Capella this year, trying something new, trying to play small ball, just trying so many different things and making the most of what they had. And I think there are many teams out there that would really welcome and require his services. So I think a really good general manager is out there on the block for the taking right now.
Well, I'll say this, and as like just reiterating what the Bean said, rest in peace, Kobe. He said this to believe it was Kendrick Perkins, where he was talking, he said, the Houston Rockets with that team are never going to win.
Yeah,
you're never going to win a championship.
Got off on this a couple weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, never going to win. And I know he made great moves. Like, the Harden trade, the most underrated trade I think I've seen in a very long time. Harden is a superstar-level talent, and they got, like, who they get? I think it was, like, Jeremy Lamb and, like, Kevin Martin or something like that. Picks. Like, that's a crazy trade. But at the end of the day, you can't win with that kind of style. And you can't give up a center. And you can't put two guys who need the ball the whole time on the same team. So yeah. As much as he did put down, he did make a dent in the NBA with this new kind of style.
Yep.
We'll see who wants to pick that up, and we'll see what he'll do with this team if he is picked up.
And make no mistake, too, this is also completely purely on Daryl. He said, as Tillman Fertitta said, the owner of the Rockets, he said Daryl is one of the premier GMs in the league, and he's disappointed. But Daryl made it clear he wasn't staying here forever.
Yeah.
When I bought the team, he told me that, and he decided this is the time that he wants to change his life. And the bubble changes things, man.
Yeah. That's a great point, Mike. We appreciate that.
I agree with that statement too, Mike. The bubble changes things.
The bubble changes things.
I think it changed a lot of people's perspective too of the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys that question because I saw a poll on Bleacher Report that had a bunch like that was rolling a bunch of questions on their Instagram story. And I want you guys to tell me, do you really think that was a fluke or do you think they're going to be for real next year?
I think they're going to be better. I think Booker's going to get better. I think they're actually going to be they are adding pieces like DeAndre Ayton, who's coming back from serving a suspension next year. I think they get better as a group. And I think they, in a way, they got to play for D-Book, right? Because
playoff spot?
Yeah. Oh, it's tough. I think they get better. I don't know if they get in. Right? You still have the likes of the Memphis Grizzlies, the Portland Trail Blazers. Those guys aren't going anywhere, right? Just because they're getting better doesn't mean those teams are getting worse.
Mm-hmm. So. And now listen, there's one thing I want to do. I know Mitch has about a minute here left with us. I want to ask you guys in a rapid succession, because I did see all these Bleacher Report picture stories, and I want to ask you guys all these questions. Give me a straight answer.
Before we get into that, can I just say my piece on the Phoenix Suns quick?
Yeah, of course, of course.
One thing I will say, and this is just me being stupid and bringing the entertainment side, I want to see the season starts. Is Booker still dealing with Jenner? If that's the case, they're not even going to come close. They're not even going to come close. If he's still messing with the Kardashian, they're not going to come close. He just wrecked that whole season for them. I'm just pointing that out right there.
There's Mitch's pop culture reference.
There you go. There's Mitch's blood.
Rapid fire questions. The Bucks did not make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
Thank you. Does Giannis get traded?
No.
Yeah, I said not a chance. You know, 56% of people said yeah. That's crazy.
Wow. That's crazy. They have to think. You got to think about the moves because if they don't make it to the finals, you know he's gone. You know?
I think so, man.
You think he's going to stay in Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think he likes it there.
More likely to lead their team to the finals, Curry or Durant? I said.
Tough. Durant. I say Durant too, but tough.
I agree with all you guys say. I just think it's hard to go through LeBron James in the Eastern Conference. Yeah, so I'm going to go with Durant on that too. That's just the main point there.
Bubble standouts. Most likely to become an all-star. Jamal Murray, Caris LeVert, or Tyler Hero?
Oh, Jamal Murray. That's a season.
I would say Jamal Murray, yeah.
And you're talking about the next, like the next out of those three, who's the next? Oh, it's Jamal Murray, but don't sleep on Tyler Hero. Don't sleep on that.
Or Caris LeVert, really. Or Caris
LeVert. Oh, you can't sleep on all of them, but like I would say it goes in order. Murray, Hero, LeVert.
I would swap the Hero and LeVert. I say Murray.
He's a bucket. He's a walking bucket, man. Come on.
I feel like Paul Pierce right now, but don't call him a walking bucket when he's 20 years old and he's still got dry shit behind his ears.
I have a very important question. John gets into this team a lot. The 76ers got swept out of the first round. What's the more likely to happen? Joel Embiid is traded or Ben Simmons?
Embiid.
Simmons.
Indeed. More people said Simmons.
I feel like Embiid's really Philadelphia's sweetheart, and Joel Embiid can really do no wrong in Philadelphia. If you have a good sense of the Philadelphia fan base and Philadelphia fandom, Joel Embiid in their eyes can do no wrong.
See,
right? When they failed in the playoffs, this consensus among Philadelphia 76ers fans was Ben Simmons can't shoot the ball, and that's why we lost. That's what they are saying.
Okay, well, you took the more, not the analytical route. You took the, story route, connection route.
But I also think Ben Simmons got to shoot the ball as a guard in this league.
But here's the thing. I think he does develop a jump shot, and I think Ben Simmons is too good and has that potential that you can't pass up on. We know this is not a big man league. The big man's going down the toilet. All big men, like that big man is not going to be playing anymore, So I think it's the next person that's him to go. You can get a lot of talent for Joel Embiid if you trade him. So I think Joel Embiid's the next person to go.
I don't think either of them are going. I think when Doc Rivers came in there, I think that's Doc Rivers isn't a rebuild coach. So I don't even see really how this is a good question, to be honest with you.
I agree with that.
Finally, last two. We already went through this one. Phoenix, playoff bound next year?
No.
Well, I told you my pick on it. It depends on who's dating Kendall Jenner.
Okay. I'll go on the record and say this. There is a bigger chance the Charlotte Hornets make the 2020 or 2021 playoffs than the just because of the conference they're playing in than the Phoenix Suns.
I'd like to make a bet with you.
Okay.
Mr. North Carolina over there.
What do you want to wager?
I want to wager $50.
$50. Okay.
And finally.
Sure.
Will the Lakers
repeat? The wager is this. The Suns make it and Hornets don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Deal? If they both make it, it's if they don't miss.
I'm actually doing this. Okay, fuck yeah. I'm down for this.
You're in?
Yeah.
What are you gonna put in? What are you gonna say, Mike? Are you saying neither of them make it and then win?
No. Hell no. I'm gonna say they don't make the playoffs.
Both of them?
Yeah.
So okay. You just don't bet. I think Phoenix makes a run, you think Hornets make a run. $50. Everyone puts in 50. Pot's 150. There we go.
Okay. I'll be in the middle. And then finally, will the Lakers repeat?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
Man, you guys are never on the same page. I love it. I mean, to argue, no one can ever be on the same page as John. John is the same guy that said the Raptors weren't going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, let's put that out there.
You can never forget that.
But, John, tell me why.
We got time for why? I think we talked about this whole podcast. I think that the Golden State Warriors are going to be a problem next year.
They're going to the resurgence of the Golden State Warriors and the Brooklyn Nets is going to be absurd next year.
Yeah, but the Brooklyn Nets.
Here's my point on it. Again, I know I mentioned LeBron. Who's going to guard LeBron? Who's going to guard AD from Golden State? Nobody. We don't know. If you think LeBron's going to go back to that finals with the team he has right now, let me tell you something. Kuzma's ass is out of there. That's the first thing that's going to happen after that. Terrible playoffs. His ass is gone. You could get some stuff for that. He's going to bring in shooters. He can get guys that can defend well. Like, I would be surprised if we saw Pat Beverly pull up on the
– he has the Green Ranger.
Brick Ranger over there. Okay, but like,
enough. Don't disrespect the Green Ranger.
You know what? He's got back-to-back chips, man. He's like the Patrick McCaw of
he could have sealed the game-winning freaking chip-winning basket, but like
– yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting upcoming season. Does it take place in another bubble format? I certainly hope not for the sake of the players. But moving on real quick, we're going to get you caught up on the MLB.
Unfortunately, Mitch has had to dip out. So
your boy's got a haircut. So
that's just one. At 8 o'clock in the evening? Jesus.
Yeah, it's the only time I can book this guy.
That's
COVID,
weird.
You know how it is.
I was in a bar room, let me tell you. But the Astros stay alive. Yep. They are currently playing right now for their playoff lives. I'm actually going to check the score right now as we speak. The Atlanta Braves will be in action.
It is 1-0 for Tampa.
Pardon me? It is 1-0 for Tampa. Earlier on, I thought, this is Tampa's to win. I think they throw Blake Snell, Charlie Morton out there in the last two games. I think the Astros are done. But and the Braves have been a phenomenal story coming out of the National League. I think it's going to be an interesting night tonight. Tonight they are rolling with a bullpen.
They are.
This is a bullpen game. AJ Minter will get the spot start, and they will try to take down the juggernaut Los Angeles Dodgers in five games.
Which is not going to happen.
I think you're right by all logic. I mean, you know me, I'm always pulling for the Braves, but I think the Dodgers take this one, and then the Braves take it in six for sure.
Yeah.
But
I think the Dodgers are the favorite, because I'm not going to lie, I did bet on the Dodgers tonight. But I mean, it's so disappointing to see the fall from grace this postseason from the Los Angeles Dodgers, a team that has just had so much.
Yeah.
Promise surrounding them all of this shortened season.
Yeah.
And the Astros, yeah. I'm happy. Screw you guys. You're done. But.
And I think that's a good point, Mike, because I think Dave Roberts' job is on the line if this Dodgers team doesn't win at all this year, because this is the best team in baseball.
How do you go 43-17 and then bow out like this?
Yeah. Clayton Kershaw has done this time and time again. He chokes in the playoffs over and over and over again, and we're just waiting for that breakout from him that David Price had last year with the Boston Red Sox, right? Or was it 2 years ago now? That's all a jumble. But we're just waiting for that playoff breakout from Clayton Kershaw, and this year ain't it yet, right? So
we'll see how it goes too with Walker Buehler tonight.
Walker Buehler will start for the Dodgers. AJ Minter for the Braves. The Braves are looking good. Marcell Ozuna, another home run last night. He's due to get paid. But I think that wraps it up. Coming next week, I want to talk a little bit. I'm going to save it for next week. I'm going to talk a little bit about the unraveling situation in international weightlifting, because it's not every week where weightlifting makes mainstream news and ESPN headlines. But we'll talk a little bit about that next week, largely because I want to wait. There's still a lot up in the air that we don't know right now, and I want to wait for a few developments.
Okay, understandable.
But we were really happy with the episode this week. Jelani Goodridge Reed coming on the show. We were really grateful for his knowledge and expertise in the NFL, and specifically the Dallas Cowboys. And those are my final thoughts. Mike, if you have anything left to say before we wrap this thing up.
Of course, you know the drill. Follow us on Instagram at @_roundtable_pod. Mm-hmm. You know, you catch us here on Fireside or on Spotify.
Follow us on Twitter.
Pardon?
Follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, follow each of us on Twitter at Maynard's. What is it, 67?
Maynard's 73, and I think yours is
Mike_Jagasar, the same thing I keep for everything.
Yeah.
Mitch is, I think, Mitchell.
No, his is like sincerely. His is sincerely.
His is at sincerely Mitch. Yeah, it's something cute like that. We will be plugging. Plugging Jelani's his posts, his pages onto the description as well. Be sure to check him out. He's a nice guy. Very nice of him to come on with us to talk Cowboys. Hopefully, we get him on again soon. Yeah. And. Yeah, we look forward to speaking to you guys next week. So everyone, have a great week. Don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never. Business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you chewing? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Above me, baby.